we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, 8:30 of the morning. If you miss it right now, listen close. You can hear it again at 5 o'clock later. Of course, if you're missing it right now, you won't really know that it comes on at 5 o'clock. Anyway, you can make note of it later on. We are on 91.5, 8:30 of the morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, and we're on WWBC 1510 AM, and so hopefully if you miss us in one spot, you can catch us in the other. But we are so thankful for everything that God is doing. We get to spend half an hour with you Monday through Friday, and we are just really still kind of blown away that this opportunity has presented itself for all these years. So we are talking about that we are the light of the world. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and we are verse number 14. Says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we've been talking a little bit about the fact that we are the light of the world. We have responsibility. And I know that that is a dirty word in modern America. A lot of people want to talk about their rights. Very few people are looking for their responsibilities. But I think it is a great thing to be able to have some responsibility. I've got a person that I've had this conversation with. He's a little bit older than I am, not drastically older, a few years older than I am, but got quite a bit less gray hair than what I've got. And I talked to him and I said, you know, what's up with that? That, you know, I've got executive blonde going on and you still pretty much have your same natural hair color going on. And he said, well, he said, I just refused to grow up and you got all that responsibility. And, you know, it is true. The other night, let's see, it was the night before, Father's Day. So it would have been, June the 16th. And, I was laying in bed. I was working real hard at going to sleep and getting a good night's rest. And all of a sudden, I realized that all of my preparation for church on that Sunday, and I mean, I had gone really hard on Saturday to get ready for that, and I realized I had forgotten to take something to the church. And if I didn't do it right then, the chances of me remembering first thing of a morning were not good. And so I went from almost asleep to up and putting something that was absolutely essential right by the front door. I had to get up and go to the church early that morning and then come back and get ready personally. And wouldn't you know, I still walked off and forgot it. I was at the church and I was like, oh man, I still went off and forgot it. And so when I went back home to get ready, the first thing that I did was put everything that I had forgotten earlier right into the vehicle so I wouldn't forget it. Responsibility is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. We have the responsibility of being the light to the world. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the source of our light. And it says here in verse number 14 that a city is set on a hill cannot be hidden. What Jesus is telling us is he has no intention of us remaining in obscurity. He is not looking for us to be operating as undercover representatives of his. He is looking for us to be shining examples of what a life can be like when Jesus is the Lord of that life. And so he says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So he's looking to bring us out of the shadows. He's looking to position you and I so that our light reaches as many people as we possibly can. I love creativity. I love it when somebody takes a unique opportunity to impact the light. Now, around our household, there are some different reasons for this. But I'm one of the few people that when I come into a room, I want the room completely and totally illuminated. I want the lights on. I want to be able to see. There was one night we were watching television many years ago. My daughter had a jet black, or that's probably not, a black as night dog. His name was Shadow. He was, I mean, he was dark. And they had the room pitch black, and I got up out of my chair and went walking towards my bedroom. All the lights are out. Unbeknownst to me, the dog is laying in the floor. I can't see him. He's completely sound asleep. He's not paying attention to me. I end up tripping over the dog. The dog is trying to get away from me, so he's moving the same direction that I'm moving now, and I stumbled over that dog almost all the way to the bedroom. I think I ended up falling in the floor. I just don't like a poorly lit room. I've been in restaurants where the lighting was so dim that you thought you were using the butter and you were using the sour cream. I like light. And so we were there the other night, and I think I was trying to eat something, and I was the last one in the room, and they had almost all the lights out. And so I just grabbed my iPhone and I put the flashlight feature on there. One of the greatest additions ever to a phone was a flashlight. And so I'm sitting there holding the light as I'm eating so that I can see where the food is. And all of a sudden they realized the room is too dark for Dad. And so they got up and they turned the lights on. And it's like, look, y'all can have it as dark as you want it, but for me, I'm going to try and light up the place. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want to keep us underneath a basket. He doesn't want us in a limited oxygen environment. This is talking about candlelight here, not battery-powered light, not a light that you plug into a wall, not LED lighting. This was candlelight. It was something you put it under a lampstand. There's going to be a couple of things that happen. One is it's going to run out of fuel. It'll run out of oxygen, and the light will go out. Or two, it is going to find that basket is a great source of fuel, and it is going to burn up the basket, and it's going to produce an even greater light. Whatever it is, it's not going to stay concealed for very long. Jesus says it gives light to all who are in the house. From a purpose perspective, the reason that we are the light of the world is not just for the atmosphere. It is for the people. It is for the people. The Bible describes that people who are not walking in relationship with God, they actually live in darkness. The Bible describes that the gods of this world have blinded their eyes. And so our purpose is to shine the light, because Jesus is the one. He heals blinded eyes. He causes light to shine, and it overpowers the darkness. We'll talk about that more at a later time. I'm never supposed to surrender to the darkness. I'm supposed to impact the darkness. I'm supposed to be a light so that people can see the goodness of God, and they will say, I'm so glad that I saw that. So back to Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So the end result of this purpose of us being the light of the world is so that people will glorify God. It says, let people see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You see, because if people have known you for any length of time at all, they probably are well acquainted with the dark areas of your life. There are some people, they don't believe in a redeeming God who can take a person who's fallen short of the glory of God, can redeem them, set them up like a light on a candlestick, and that instead of being a propagator of darkness, that now they are a source of light to all those. There are a lot of people that don't believe in that. They don't believe that people can change. You'll hear it in certain expressions like, well, a leopard can't change its spots. But God can. God can. And I'm so thankful. Listen, if it is impossible for people to change, then we are all in trouble. We are all in trouble. And so the purpose is that people will see our good works and glorify your Father, or our Father in heaven. That's what the end result is all about. Now, verse number 16 says this, "Let your light so shine before men." It does not say, "Let your light so shine just when you're in church." That there's nothing wrong with that. But you should be shining just as much outside the church as you are inside the church. You should be the same when you're at church as you are at work. You should be the same person around your family as you are in public. There should not be a split personality. There should not be a split function where, okay, well, I'm light here 1 hour a week, and then I'm darkness the other 167 hours a week. That's not what we're supposed to be, light. And Jesus here in verse number 16 says that the ability to choose that function is ours, because he says, "Let your light so shine before men." That means that if we will give ourselves permission to be light, if we will take upon ourselves that responsibility to say, I don't want to have any dark spots. I don't know about you, but I'm very cautious when I'm driving down the road to make sure that I pay special attention to my blind spots, areas that I can't see. I want to do whatever is necessary. So I'll turn if I have to. If there are people in the car, I'll say, "Hey, you know, how's it looking back there?" And they will give me thumbs up, thumbs down, say it's good. Sometimes they'll say, oh, you're good to go except for that truck that's just about to plow over you. I mean, we just have a lot of fun with each other. That's all. So I want to give myself permission, if you will, to allow the light of the world that is Jesus, my Savior, who has now given me the responsibility of bringing light to the world, the people that I come in contact with, the people that are in my sphere of influence. And I want to say, God, I want to be light for them. I don't want to be darkness. I don't know if you've ever had a situation where the light bulb was kind of spastic, you know, where it would be on, then it off, on, off, on, off, and it just flickered and it kind of made noise. You know what I do when a light bulb does that? I change the light bulb. Or if you have ever been around a fluorescent light fixture where the light bulb just doesn't want to come on because of the ballast or something like that, and you know, there comes a point where you're going to say, you know what, you're not doing the job of shining light when you're supposed to be shining light, and if I can't fix you, I'm going to replace you. Okay? We want to give a consistent, steady, reliable revelation of who God is to everyone that we come in contact with. And I will just tell you this. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. The way that we do that is not just with the words that come out of our mouth. It is something that happens because of the work that we do. Okay? The actions that we live by either bring light or they bring darkness. One of them either brings glory to God or one of them takes away from the glory of God. Which one will we be? So I want to be the person that is adequately bringing light to the situation. I want to take you back in the scripture today to a passage. I don't often refer to this passage in scripture, but I want to talk about this. It's in the 37th chapter of Job. It is right before God speaks in the latter chapters of Job. Job is a very sobering book in my life, because and I've had conversations with people where they were doing a whole lot of blaming God and praising themselves, and I always do this. I say, I want to encourage you to be very, very careful. Now, God is a great big God. He's able to handle himself. And he's got no problem doing that. And he's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's okay with us growing in him. But if there's anything that Job demonstrates, it is that there's going to come a point in time where God is going to say to man, you've asked enough questions. It's now my turn. It's my turn to ask the questions. It's your turn to answer. Since you're so wise in your eyes, since you're so good in your eyes, since you're so righteous in your eyes, it's time for me to ask a few questions, and let's see if you can give me the answers. And the truth of the matter is that when Job had that encounter with God, that Job said, you know what? It was not wisdom for me to be talking the way that I was doing. So that's what comes up at the end of the book of Job. But right before God begins to speak, God begins to speak in chapter 38. In chapter 37, a young man by the name of Elihu, he begins to speak. And remember, these were people who were there their original purpose was to comfort Job. And in verse number 21, he says this, Even now, men cannot look at the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them. He comes from the north as golden splendor. With God is awesome majesty. As for the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is excellent in power, in judgment, and abundant justice. He does not oppress. Therefore, men fear him. He shows no partiality to any who are wise of heart. Elihu says here is that when there is light in the sky, basically he's talking about the sun, whenever the sun is at its apex, when it is at its brightest, he said, men cannot tolerate to look at it. It is so bright that it is blinding. Now, when you think about that, scientists tell us that our star is not one of the brightest stars, and yet it is so bright that we cannot tolerate looking at it with our very own eyes. During one of the last solar eclipses that was visible here in America, there were a number of people who developed retinal issues and went blind because they tried to look at the sun in its brilliance, and it was more than their eyes could handle. The brilliance of the light impacts vision. And so I want to ask you, how much do we really want people in our community seeing of God? Now, I'm telling you the negative aspect of brilliance, but on the bright side of brilliance, and that is that same light that is too intense to look at directly causes things to light up around you to such an extent that you do not stumble. Okay? When I was growing up, there were a lot of reruns of old movies that were made back in the 30s and the 40s, and there were police interrogation tactics, and they would put a suspect in a dark room, and they'd take a really bright light and they would shine it in his face, and he wouldn't be able to see anything at all. And they would just keep shining the light. I mean, you're not going to be able to sleep during all of that sort of stuff. And it was just really, really brutal on the eyes. So a couple of years ago, I was having an eye surgery that was taking place. And it was kind of an unusual process. They put me to sleep to prep me for the surgery, and then had me awake for the surgery. And that was something I wasn't all that accustomed to. So they told me, now we're getting ready to put you to sleep, and when you wake up, you are going to see a very bright light. Okay? And they tell it to you just matter of fact. Okay, we're going to put you to sleep. We're going to get your eye ready for surgery. And when we wake you up, you're going to see a very, very bright light. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, what could be so bad about that? So they put me to sleep. They wake me up. And when I come to, I felt like I was in one of those movie interrogation rooms. There was a bright light, and I mean, there was just nothing that I could do. Everything in my power said, I want to shut my eyes so that I don't have to be exposed to that light. That was the natural response, but they had put preventative measures in place to keep my eye from doing that. Now, before I get to the serious point, I want to tell you the humorous point. So when I woke up in that bright light, the very first words that came out of my mouth was said, honestly, I didn't do it. I have a rock solid alibi. I mean, that was, and they got kind of a laugh out of that. Now, I want to tell you this, that the Holy Spirit is working in people's lives and positioning Christians, positioning men and women of God in and around people so that they can see the light, not just on an intermittent basis, not just on an occasional basis, but that they would have constant exposure to the things of God, because he does not want them blinded by the God of this world. He gave us eyes to see the goodness of God. He gave us eyes to see so that people would glorify God. He wants people to have eyes to see the good works that people do instead of the bad things that people are constantly doing. You see, if the world has its way, it talks about bad news because bad news generates ratings. God has commissioned his people to talk about good news because good news promotes salvation. And if you and I would be constantly shining our light wherever we go, fulfilling what it says there in Matthew chapter 5, not looking for a way to make it. Listen, in the land of darkness, light is offensive. You don't believe that? You go try and wake up a teenager at the crack of noon. They're on summer break right now. They want to sleep until it's time for dinner. And you try and go in there and you turn the lights on, and they're going to be moaning about all of this. All of a sudden there's light coming in. I don't have any teenagers around my house, so I'm not talking about any of my kids. I'm just doing a general lighthearted comment there. But God is looking for us to be light in our community, brilliant light, set up light, exalted light, light that is positioned appropriately so that they will have their vision restored. Now, at first, they might kick and scream and moan and groan. But can you imagine what happens when God causes them to fix their eyes on Jesus? And all of a sudden, the reality clicks. The perception comes into focus, and they see that Jesus is not their enemy. He is the lover of their soul. And today, I want to encourage you, let's not just be light. Let's be brilliant light. Let's be effective light. Let's do the very best that we can to live our good works out before men. Listen, works will not save me. Works will not save you. I do not work to try and earn my salvation. I like to work because I am saved, and I want others to be saved as well. God bless you. You have a great day, and be light today in your world. In Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.